Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk. Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Hello, hello everybody. Welcome to another reality show. Yay! Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. I am Golden Hawk, and I will be chilling with you for the next 2 hours. It's been a really, really interesting week. Let me bring on my guest, and then we're going to talk about the infamous Valentine's Day. You know, a lot of stuff have happened on Valentine's Day, and not loving stuff. I'm realizing as I'm saying this, there was some big thing with gangsters in, like, the 1920s. Valentine's Day was, like, this mega, they all got murdered and stuff. The Valentine's Day Massacre. Oh, my. Yeah, yeah. Goldie definitely experienced that. Tonight, my wonderful guest is Nancy Ward. Welcome to the show, Nancy. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Hello, everybody.
Yeah. So, the Valentine's Day Massacre. I mean, those words ring so true. Because I don't know about everybody else, but my Valentine's Day was filled with anger and rage, and I was just in a, I don't want to say it was rage, but it was uncontrollable anger. I think rage is when you see red, and I was very clear that I was pissed. And I was also very clear that I didn't want to stop being pissed. I wasn't looking to fix it. I was pissed at Scott, and, I'm starting to learn, and, I don't know how many of you guys can resonate with this. I'm starting to learn, first of all, me and Scott have an amazing relationship in that I have been through a lot of anger with Scott through the death of his father, through him drinking, and we we're still together, by means that are so beyond my mind. I mean, it truly is an affair of the heart because I love him with all my heart. And if I didn't feel it, I would not be here. It would be easy to look at our relationship on paper and go, what are you doing there? Come on. But soul contracts don't show up as necessarily the Prince Charmings that make you feel great. Soul contracts show up as the ones that really triggered deep emotional stuff in us that, in my humble opinion, if you want to integrate it, you got to trigger it first, and then the integration can come in. And I'm integrating anger. I was this week, and I was not looking to change my anger. And because I think Scott, in his own experience, expresses his anger not so much anymore since he stopped drinking. He's still got an attitude every now and then, but he's much, much more mellow. Now it's my turn. It is my turn to be going through, I'm not drinking, but I'm definitely going through anger. And I am not looking, to make light of it or to, to suppress it. I mean, I'm feeling it, I'm expressing it, and I'm not apologizing for it. And like I was saying, the truth is Scott's not looking for me to apologize for it. He's really quite my Prince Charming in that it's like, are you okay, babe? And it's like, I am now, because make a long story short, I basically packed all my stuff up from Scott's house on Valentine's night and was ready to, call it a day and take all my stuff home, give me my bat and ball. I'm going home. I don't want to play anymore. and Scott, in all his wisdom, talked to me after everything was done packing. I mean, I pretty much said, I was like, do you want to talk? And he was like, yeah. And Scott doesn't always talk, so it, you know, we kind of just, you know, we work through some stuff that I won't share because it's, I don't have his permission to share it, but we work through stuff and, you know, and then I went, are you going to help me bring all my shit back in? And he goes, yeah. And then as everybody who knows me, who's following me on Facebook, the following day, I found a space in nature that was so incredibly mystical and magical. I mean, it really went beyond any of my wildest expectations. 25-foot waterfall, moss-covered boulders, fern that is still green in the middle of February, you know, in February. Trees that, you know, at the root of their trees, you can just feel the portals and dimensional doorways. The whole space, it reminded me of, if you went down a cul-de-sac street, you know, you drive down the street and then you get to the end of the street and there's a circle and it's a dead end. This was like the exact same formation, except it was a river. And the cul-de-sac part was where the waterfall came in. I just was blown away how I got so blessed to find this new space, which is by Scott's house. I've been intending to find a place to hike around Scott's house basically since we, you know, did our soulful ceremony on New Year's Eve. And this place just swept me off my feet, took my anger, and I asked for it this time. I actually intended. I said, fairies, angels, gnomes, mystical beings, you know, I definitely have some stuff, and I am open to, you know, to letting it go or integrating it, however it's going to be, to bring some magic to me. And it did, but then, now I want to talk about integration tonight, because, you know, it's so funny. Nancy and me were just talking before the show even began. I feel like someone has turned up the gravitational pull on the planet today. I mean, and this is not just today, but it's very intense today that I'm lethargic. Nance, how are you experiencing this?
Well, I have been feeling really tired today, but weight gain, which is really annoying and uncomfortable, and doesn't match what I'm eating. So it's like food. I can't. Nothing appeals to me, or it doesn't feel good inside of me. Mm. So I'm really going towards green leafy stuff, and I don't know. Yeah. So that's part of it. But when you talk about anger, like I had someone over the weekend coming at me with a lot of anger. It was like, it was irrational, and it was like being scolded. And I'm like, I don't want to be talked to like that anymore and ever
right on.
Again.
Right.
And that kind
that
of
was
thing.
Part of what triggered me. That's so good. Scott, I literally said to Scott, I am not your child. You will not talk to me like that. That is interesting. Mm. Go ahead. Right on.
Yeah,
right
yeah.
On.
So, I mean, I'm not going to go into it, but it was...
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly.
Really, I actually... With my man, you know, had a nice, well, we were saying goodbye on Valentine's. He went up to Canada and I went down to Long Island to meet my new little grand niece. So that was
Yay.
Lovely to have, be holding a baby during all this craziness. But, you know, that helped change the energy. Oh, I mean,
right,
time just
right.
stops when you're looking into the face of a little infant. It's amazing. So that was lovely.
Yeah.
But,
nice.
But you know, the whole before that, I just felt like I was whipped by Tuesday night when I got to my sister's. I was like, I feel like I just got beaten up. And, you know, in some way, I did verbally get beaten up, but it's just part of all the changing that's going on. Like, I think everybody's feeling it, and it's coming out like that, you know, because it was, like I said, it was kind of irrational what was coming at me, and it's like, wow, she must be going through something. Like, yeah, welcome to planet Earth at this time. So, because I felt ever since the new year, there's just been, you know, my own personal shadow stuff that I'm looking at, and old feelings, you know, from really like elementary school days, high school, like just coming up through me, and I'm understanding it's just washing through to be released. And the thing of it is, when that happens, is to love yourself anyway. You know, memories of, oh, I wish I hadn't done that or said that, when those things come up, little places where we've judged ourselves, that's what this is all about, loving ourselves through that. Oh, you know, like, yeah, I did that thing I'm not too proud of, you know, back in 1972. But
I can't hold on to it anymore.
And if it's
I don't think
coming
that's
up,
serving
like,
anything.
No, it's like, wow, I thought I dealt with that. And I know so many people are saying that, that there, things are coming up that they thought they finally dealt with. And it's like, I think it's just being in the presence of love when that stuff comes up to let us let go of it, because we're losing our stories. That's what that's what I've been writing about. I'm going to be posting the vibe report probably tomorrow, but that's what it's about. But you can't fake that, you know, losing the story.
Right.
And so I feel it's like everybody's going a little crazy. That's kind of how it feels.
I
don't know. Maybe not everybody, because there's people who seem to just life as usual. I don't get that, but.
Well, I mean, I would say that it's happening maybe in cycles, you know, not every, you know, maybe, you know, nature has a way where, at least me and Scott, like, he'll go cycle, you know, where I can tell he's in a mood. I mean, and I am grateful that it tends to, that we're not usually in moods at the same time. I mean, sometimes we are, like, if like, because a lot of times what I'm feeling is, and you're so, well, first of all, I want to address, you're absolutely right that I'm still dealing with the whole, you know, being talked to inappropriately. I have realized I will not stand for that. I mean, that's a deal breaker for me. I will not be, you know, that tone of, you know, it's my privilege to be around him. Oh, I will be damned. Now that's not to say I also don't understand that, you know, he's got back issues. His mom is going through a lot. He's under a lot of pressure. You know, he owns a house, and his work is basically cutting back more and more. Now he's on 2 days a week where he's getting, where you get paid. I don't know. He's not going to work. He's getting paid from, I keep wanting to say insecurity. First of all, another symptom of this, I can't find words. I can't think. I mean, I swear to God, there are times when the gift of gab, you know, is clearly, you know, my experience. And then there are times I'm like, you know, the word, what is it called when unemployment? That's it. His company has this thing where they, for a while, they were doing 1 day unemployment, 4 days paid. Now they're doing 2 days unemployment, 3 days paid. So there's a lot of pressure for him, you know, going through the changes of potential job loss and all of that. And, you know, so it's not like I'm not looking for him to just, you know, stick a rod up his ass and put on a happy face. You know, life is challenging, and our tones can reflect that. But I think it's important, because he's like, he was saying to me, I'm not mad at you, I'm just mad. It's like, okay, then you can't talk to me all the time in that mad voice, because it feels like a chisel on me. It's just chiseling me down, and it's like, you know, you just got to, and I'm a firm believer that if you bring awareness to situations, That should be, you know, because I'm not one that, I don't really need apologies. We don't really play all that. I don't need cards and fancy things. And, you know, I really don't. I just need the environment I live in to be suitable for me. And I'm very much on a journey that I'm looking for sovereignty, you know, because one thing I realize more and more, and this is something that I've been finding, because I'm also finding clarity to a level and a depth I have never experienced before. And I'm speaking a truth to a level and depth I've never spoken before. The sovereignty is that I'm okay being by myself. You know, I love Scott, and you know, I'm happy to be in a relationship with him. But you know, if it's, you know, if we're dealing with rule breakers and stuff, I'm happy to pack my shit and get the hell out of Dodge and go through this ascension process solo. I mean, that's fine. And it's an interesting dynamic because he's actually helping me become sovereign, which then makes the relationship become an art to experience, because for the first time in my life, the relationship isn't my goal. Sovereignty is my goal. And it really makes for the, it changes the experience, because the goal is not that I have to end up with Scott. I mean, that's just not the goal. The, you know, the goal is that we stay soulful, consciously aware beings, and we do our soulful journeys, you know, together or not. It's, you know, it's just not the goal for me. And it really is manifesting differently for me. And showing, you know, finding, you know, I actually posted it on Facebook as Indian Hill, the space. It's actually Indian Well. Finding that space really, boy, it was so, the level of magic in comparison to the level of anger I had the night before. If I can share a message with everybody, it really is, you know, the soul is not, we don't need to apologize to the soul for anything we've done, anything. I mean, there's nothing we can do wrong here to be holding on to ourselves. There's no judgment for what is happening right now. Because it was so clear to me in my sovereignty that it's okay to get angry. I mean, I never apologized for getting angry. I really didn't. I was like, I mean, after I was done, I was physically able to be here at Scott's. And I recognize, you know, it's like, because I'm letting my body be my guide. And if my body, because there are times when my body goes, you know, get out. And it was interesting because on my other show, on the Mystical Mother Earth show, I would talk about, like, if me and Scott get into a fight, a lot of times, if I just leave the house and literally drive around the block, you know, just get out of the radius of Scott's energetic field, I'll snap back into a space where I'm very compassionate, I want to be here, and I can see what triggered me was really something. It's a trigger. It's, you know, it's my job, and it's my stuff to work on. And it brings me the clarity, he's not to blame. It's what I'm here for. I'm here to be triggered. But yesterday or Tuesday when I was mad, I got out into my car and I got the hit. Instead of, you know, because I was like, okay, you're going to do your 3/10 of a mile thing, Goldie? And the answer I heard was, no, you're going to go inside and you're going to leave permanently. I mean, it was like, this ain't no joke. You're done. I was like, wow. You know, and again, I just went, okay, if that's what my body wants, I came back in and said, I'm packing. I'm out. You know, and it was just really bizarre to me because I don't, it's not that I don't act like that. I am finding if you are not allowing yourself to make all sorts of crazy choices, you're missing out on the magic that is available right now. You know, there is a sense in me that is telling me, give yourself permission to be extreme.
Because, well, and isn't it interesting that you, when you say your body told you, no, you're moving out permanently, and you went back in, and then it opened up this whole aspect where you could do the physical things of moving out permanently, packing your car, and then going in and talking, and then coming to some resolution, and then having
exactly.
Just unpacking your car and bringing it back in. It was like, you think you're moving out permanently, but we're just going to go through this whole process. You know?
Yes, what it
so,
is.
So, you know,
it's
we don't know
process.
What's going on.
Exactly. But you got to trust that, because I don't know if you ever, there's a channeler named Bashar, and he's brilliant. One of the things he says all the time is, A lot of times what the soul will do is it just wants to get you in a direction. So you follow it, but it's not about following it to its end course. It was just meant to kind of redirect us into a different direction. I find that happens all the time with me. When I have a gut instinct and follow the gut instinct. I mean, because when I was packing, I was meant to leave. And yet when I was done, there was something that had shifted. I mean, I physically was sweating. You know, there was definitely a transformation happening to me. And then, you know, just, you know, talking with Scott, you know, I really did, you know, because at one point he threw our wedding ring at me, the rings that we used, you know, in our ceremony. And I can definitely tell you that that was a moment for me that went, oh, I mean, that just was like, wow, that hurt. You know, and not hurt from, you know, it was like, this is over. That's what it felt like, wow, this is over. And then from that point on, you know, I was still moving my body, and then I was like, okay, you know, let's hear what he has to say. And what he had to say was, I don't want this to be over, you know, let's talk. And you have to understand that Scott, because of his Asperger's, most of this has to be done, you know, on some level of, it's like, it's encrypted, you know what I mean? Like, my boyfriend talks to me encrypted, because communication verbally is really not the main, that's not his main way of communicating. It's very much energetically and empathically. I feel him. Because we essentially, when we made up, never even spoke a word to each other. There was just a holding of each other, you know, and I handed him the ring and I go, will you put this back on? And he's like, do you want me to? And I was like, very much. And, you know, so we cut to the chase on a lot of stuff. And then I did talk about, you know, the tone thing, and he said, okay, I will work on it. You know, I will work on my awareness of it. And, you know, that's all I can ask for. And then I was like, okay, I feel better. You know, let's watch some X-Files and, you know, call it a day. but I could tell still, I mean, because the following day when I found the Indian well, I mean, I was en route to going to, like, I knew the next day, it's like, I need the woods. I had not been in the woods for several days. And one thing Janine says that I'm really a firm believer on this, oxygen is incredibly important to my experiences right now. Like, oxygen is actually what helps me stay in the present moment, keep my balance, keep my center. And it's important to move my body to get oxygen, and it's important to get oxygen from not just a physical point of view, but the other bodies, you know, emotional, mental, and spiritual, because I think in the oxygen, similar to blood, it's where wisdom kind of rides in on those, you know, transits, you know, on those conduits. And that seemed, for me anyways, and Janine as well, to be changing us, you know, where, because every day I have to be conscious of, you know, did I get my oxygen today? Because I can, like, today I didn't go. It was kind of rainy. I should have went this morning. You know, should have, could have, would have. I'm literally learning through trial and error that when I'm not getting out there, even for 20 minutes, it's affecting my whole stamina, my whole energetic field is wiped out. I mean, I was wiped out before I came on the show. I mean, me and Nancy were joking. She was hoping I'd cancel. I was hoping she'd cancel. we were both kind of feeling heavy, and you know, and I was like, listen, we can do this for now. We can do whatever we want to do, but, you know, I really, and Nancy, I do appreciate you coming on and just being honest about this, because, you know, like you were saying, I mean, I believe a lot of people are going through it, so let's give ourselves permission to make it all okay. You know, in other words, we don't have to run away from it, and we don't have to, you know, put makeup on it and make it look better than it is. You know, we can just also talk about the acceptance of, you know, I feel like 100,000 pounds. I feel like, because isn't on other planets the gravitation different, right? You know, you would, like,
yeah,
weigh, it's like, you know, are we on a different planet? Because Earth just feels so heavy. I really please go. Yeah.
No, it's funny, you know, that you say that, because I haven't really thought of it that way. I just thought, well, it's me. I'm just feeling uncomfortable, and it's I haven't been exercising as much as I need to in the last week or so, and but there is something happening with the magnetics of the Earth, and that, I mean, it's, I'm not a scientist, but I read about this stuff, and it, unfortunately, I usually can't remember everything I read.
No worries.
You know, there's something going on with
the
magnetics of the Earth.
Okay.
And the sun, the energy coming from the sun into the center of the Earth and then radiating outward and going through us. And, it's all shifting. And I feel that's why I've gone, and I know other people have too, gone through aches and pains, like all of a sudden, why is my left hip bothering me or my knee or whatever? And then a couple of days later, it's fine. It's gone. And, you know, I think that that's our physical bodies, you know, kind of acclimating to these energies. But now that you mention it, feeling heavier on Earth, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I'd like to, I'll just put it out there to the universe or whatever, wisdom to guide me to the information that we'll be talking about magnetics. And I'm pretty sure that in the next couple of days, I will suddenly be reading something or hear about something that will be explaining what's happening magnetically on the Earth.
I agree.
I'll pass
it on. Right on. Cool. Yeah. Well, I know George Kavassalis talks a lot about the compression that, literally we are, like the Mayan calendar is not just about, you know, the steps of time getting smaller. Time and space are actually two of the same thing. So if time is getting shorter, so is space. I mean, we are physically compressing. In a way that George speaks of it, what's interesting is this is not a compression that's looking to be cured. You know, this is the compression that is going to birth the Homo illuminis. You know,
compression of contraction, of birth contractions.
Exactly.
Pushing. And then as you were talking, I was just getting this image of like the universe is like sort of stretching out and we're going through this narrow thing. And as if I'm looking at some kind of cartoon or animation of a grid-like thing that's just morphically moving and expanding and contracting, and we're in this really narrow place right now. And
yeah, that's the toroid. That's exactly right.
Oh, I love that, the Taurus. Yeah.
Yeah. And that is exactly where we are. And that's why it's like, you know, we don't have to apologize for getting pissed. God, we're being crushed to the size of an atom. There's going to be some uncomfortableness there. But what I think it's important to do is, like I said, see, I'm blessed because I have a lot of passion in me, and I have a lot of anger in me. I've been angry, you know, I won't say my whole life, because first part of my life I was fearful, and it's so funny how fear doesn't let you get angry, because you're so afraid if you get angry, what you're afraid of trumps the anger, so you know, you stuff it because you want to be loved. I mean, this was me. I wanted to be loved. I wanted to be accepted. I didn't want to be alone. These were major, major beliefs that were running my program. And because one of the things that really appeals to me about Scott is like one of the very few men in my life that, I mean, to be blunt, he's got a backbone. He stands up to me. I tend to intimidate people, male and or female, and I don't intimidate Scott at all. And ironically, since me and Scott went through our ugly period when he was drinking and coping with his father's death, I came to the truth that he doesn't intimidate me either. And so it's almost like once we came to that space, this new space, kind of, you know, fused from it and opened up into, I mean, I can get angry, you know, and I can get angry with him. It's almost like a safe space to be angry where, you know, he's not, you know, I don't, there are men out there, just like there are women that are like, don't raise your voice. I don't want you to raise your voice. You know, I'm going to raise my voice if I'm pissed off. I'm going to raise my voice if I'm excited. You know, I mean, I got to express. I don't even begin to know how to control that aspect of me. Well, I shouldn't say I don't know. I do know, but I'm no longer following that. You know, the truth is I'm going to raise my voice. I'm going to express myself. I'm not going to apologize. You know, if there's cleanup that needs to be done afterwards, because I don't tend to break things. That's not my gig. I don't own a lot. I guess when you don't own a lot, you don't tend to break a lot. I'm really big on, I think it's important that, you know, for me as a soulful being to express the, you know, anger is passion, you know. I mean, and I'm not saying that, you know.
I was speaking to a friend recently, and she said that if you're feeling sort of stuck or depressed or lackadaisical, you know, just sort of without energy, to get angry, to really, like, let anger flow through you, it's, like, really helps to move energy.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
Anger is actually better for us than depression and
lethargy.
And,
right on.
You know, so anger, I think she said some other things like envy and jealousy, and I'm like, oh, I hate those feelings. But, you know,
yeah.
I don't know if I would use those as an antidote, but anger is something I, you know, that can
Well, anger is different than jealousy, though, that because, it's literally exactly, it's the movement, because I can feel it. I can feel it moving through me, and I have stuffed for a good part of my life. I just won't, and what it's so amazing, though, because, see, I'm not afraid. It's not that I'm not afraid of, you know, it could have easily been over on Tuesday night with me and Scott. I mean, I can't predict how he's going to respond to me being angry. I know I can tell you back in the day, we've been together on and off for 4 years. There was definitely a time when I would get angry. It would trigger his anger, and he would, you know, we wouldn't speak to each other for 3 months. I mean, we'd go on sabbatical and just, you know, do our own thing, and, you know, life kept bringing us back together. But that's what I'm finding is right now he seems to be in a space where he can genuinely handle my anger without it triggering him. Because when he was getting angry, it wasn't necessarily triggering me. I mean, it was because we were doing the sabbatical thing, but I don't know. Something shifted in our relationship. And on some level, I believe it was the marriage that we did that, you know, we're just not so quick to throw things away, but I still have to be allowed to do my process. Because, see, and I know it's like, well, that, you know, I'm talking in circles. These are the paradoxes of infinite trust, because I really do want this relationship to work, but not at the cost of me being not authentic. Nothing comes before my authenticity. Nothing. And it, ironically, the more authentic I am, the more stable we're becoming. and it's in every area of my life. This is happening with my father.
That totally makes sense.
It does.
The more authentic you are. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like giving ourselves permission to be who we are. First of all, figuring that out, because a lot of us were raised with, you know, messages of, you don't really feel that way, or don't be like that, because it doesn't fit in with other people's, you know, ideas for how they want us to be. And
Right.
So, like, for me, it's taken, you know, so far most of my life to undo that stuff and release it and be who I am. And, you know, so, of course, the more authentic we're going to be. And part of that is losing this codependent behavior. I mean, that's, like, the biggest thing for the entire human race at this time is to lose that codependent behavior. And that's when you care what other people think or you want to help people. And sometimes it's better to let people just bump their heads against the wall, because that's how we learn through our experience, you know, or, you know, I'll love you if you do this or you be this way, and, you know, all of that. And, you know, I think we all have to work on that. So the more authentic we are, fearlessly, like, oh, they're not going to love me if I just, you know, show my anger or my fear or whatever. And it's like, we just have to we're letting it all hang out now.
Exactly.
So we're all rocking and rolling with that.
Well, and don't you believe that the frequencies are truly behind that? Like, if there was anything I could describe as the reason for all of us, like, it's like, I can't not do this. You know what I mean? This isn't like a conscious choice. I mean, I make it sound like it is, but the truth is it's not. It's, you know, there are certain things taking over, and it seems to be, you know, in many of the messages that I'm reading from, you know, the people that I write the monthly stuff, including yourself, is that, you know, the frequencies literally are just, it's bringing up the stuff that we have from our past, because it's everything we stuffed. It's the stuff that...
It's flushing it out.
It's flushing it out beautifully.
Because, you know, it's really like the Christ energy that a lot of people are saying. It's that Christ energetic frequency that's coming in. It's a really high vibration. And, you know, for those of us who are choosing to ride this out and stay here through this process and help bring it on, whatever, you know, it's a great mystery. I mean, I think I feel like that's what's going on, and I'm choosing to stay here and, you know, help integrate that energy. But, you know, in the process of doing that, that's when our shadow comes up, and I don't think it means that we're not going to have a shadow anymore, because that's part of the polarity here, but I don't know.
I think it means quite the opposite. we're going to come face to face with our shadow, if anything.
Well, through this transitional time, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's even...
Oh, like, I see. Is that what you were referencing, or you're referencing post-it?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. My
well,
okay.
Post-it, I don't know. Like, I really, it's like, does that mean that we'll be done with that, or we'll be in the fifth dimension, and we won't have that? I don't know, but... Right now, it's like the process of going through it is bringing that up, because we need to be able to carry more of that really high vibrational frequency, because the Earth is going to be is resonating with that as well, higher and higher, you know? And so it's like spaceship Earth moving into this other dimension. We're going along with it, but we have to be able to carry this resonance, embody it. And so we're in the middle of it now, and so it's that process of flushing it out and, you know.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, part of, I don't know if it's the warrior in me or just the plain old bitch, but, I mean, I feel good. I feel good expressing myself, where I know for, like, a good part of my life, I would always to a point, and then I would stop. I mean, I really could... I can feel like, was it you that, no, somebody wrote, I can feel that I reach a point in like the ceiling, the membrane of my life, you know, I can feel that it's, the pressure's building, and I'm like, you know, let's shatter this. Literally, you know, and in the process of shattering, it can get very ugly from a personal point of view. But the trusting in the process of the shattering is overriding, you know, the fear of the blemish, so to speak, of what it looks like in the process, you know, because afterwards, it really is becoming clear to me the clarity. I mean, I have a clarity in my friends that are talking to me, and you know, people on Facebook I'm watching, you know, it's like, it's just profound how the shadow, it seems like on some level, we were talking about this on Monday, if we empty our cup of beliefs, like if we believe we know first of all, anybody that says they know what's happening right now, if I was to read that from anybody, I would stop reading them, because nobody knows what's happening right now. We can discuss in the moment what's happening. We can know that. But I mean, from a, you know, what's going to happen in 2012, you know, where this is all heading to. We're all speculating here. And okay, so...
I know,
again,
there,
like,
but there are some people who seem to say, well, this is what's happening. And, I mean, you know, George Kavafoulis is one, and that's where I start I find myself getting like, how do you know? You know, so, I mean, I really like what he has to say, but sometimes when he goes into that kind of thing or anybody else, I get
yeah, no,
my
I honor
inner
that. I honor
belligerent
that. Yes.
Comes up because it's like
no, indeed,
nobody knows.
Indeed.
The guys
right,
that I communicate with, they're like, we don't know. This has never been done before. And then these are
yeah.
like, you know, to me, they're my friends. They're non-physical
okay.
friends.
Okay.
They're observing from some other place. And it's like, okay. You know, so I trust that. That seems more honest to me anyway. But to
well,
say,
George has, in George's defense, he's not here. George has updated some of the dates and things he said that, you know, that change is happening and that he no longer, you know, certain things that he said from a timeline point of view, he said, I don't know anymore. He's not sure about the dates and times. 'Cause, and I've heard other people say that, you know, George Kavassalis, for me, George Kavassalis changed my life. I mean, he came to me at a time when he helped me recognize the difference between creating my ascension through a mental process and allowing the ascension to magnetically be happening to me without my mind building Merkabahs. Mm. You know, because I'm a very naturally, I'm a right-sided brain. Like, I'm left-handed, so my right side of my brain is my strongest side. But through the conditioning of my lifetime, and I have a very masculine approach in my personality. You know, so going out to, you know, someone says, let's go build a pyramid. Okay, let's go build a pyramid. You know, let's go build a Merkabah. You know, is that what? Because I believe that's what I had to do in order to go through this ascension. And you know, George, for me, anyways, he just clearly showed me that, you know, Earth, who I'm also very connected to, but was not really listening to her. I was feeling her, but I wasn't listening to her because I was still doing these mental concepts of building things through my thought. You know, It used to be, how do you raise your frequency? Well, I have to build the construct to raise my frequency. Now I'm learning the way to raise your frequency is to integrate the shadow side. You know, in other words, two parts of myself, the light and the shadow. When they come together, there's a fusion. That fusion is my frequency raising. And it's not done by me. In the sense of, I don't raise the frequency; I create the space for the frequency for the alchemy to take place.
Mm, I love that. Yeah,
and it's been significantly a game changer in my life because I was so bent on I've got to ascend. I've got to ascend because. I mean, I know. I think we talked about this once before. I do not want to come back and do any more. Third and fourth dimensional polarity. I mean, it can exist, but not, I'm done. And what do I need to finish this? And like I said, I thought it was through my mind that was going to happen. And now I'm learning is it's through integrating of my shadow. And for the first time, I mean, not for the first time, but meaning I'm really getting a momentum here where like finding Indian well, that came from like my body told me, stop going towards Devil's Den, which is where I normally go, and go into a driveway, turn around on a day I knew I needed woods. It was like, this was, you know, February 15th. I knew I needed the woods. Me and Scott had basically, you know, cleared everything up from a personality kind of point of view. But energetically, it's like, okay, you know, Mother Earth, I need my healing. It was so uncommon of me on that particular day to say, okay, let's look for a new place to go to the woods. Because, you know, you would think, you know, do that on a different day when you can actually not make it to the woods if that's what, you know what I mean? It's like not so much as riding on it. And yet that's the way the mind thinks. The way the body and the soul work is it's just spontaneous. It has nothing to do with what happened last night. You know, for whatever the reason, it was time for me to find this space And I just love it because it's in the process of trusting the spontaneousness that is helping me understand. It's not just the removal of the mind to building me my Merkabahs and my ascension process, it's removing my mind to make all my decisions. And that's a huge leap to take.
It's also making me think of when you talk about that, you know, I guess integrating the shadow and the light and all, it's also balancing the right and left hemispheres of the brain.
Yes.
And I've been, like, really interested in different things about ancient Egypt. And from what I've learned, that those people living then probably had that integration. A lot of their symbology, they have they understand to mean the integration of the right and left hemisphere. Some of the way some of the temples are laid out, they see it more like as a skull with this integration of the two hemispheres of the brain. And so I found that really fascinating. That's something that we're getting back to. And
Whole brain thinking, definitely.
Mm.
Definitely. That's I don't know if you've ever heard of a technique called hemisync or holosync.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I did holosync for close to 10 years on a daily basis, and I think that's part of it, to be honest. I do believe the brain is part of it, but there is a point where it's actually the wisdom of life comes, it literally goes beyond the brain. You know, like, you know, people say the heart, and I'll be honest with you, I can only speak my own experiences. It's not that I don't believe the heart has something to do with it, but for me, I'm finding it's a body knowing. You know, like, I surrender to my body. And because I have literally been driving to the woods, whatever woods it is that I'm driving to, and I can hear my head going, you don't want to go there. You know, go back to bed and lay in bed and, you know, stay cozy, you know, because it's in the winter. I'm still hiking through the – go be cozy and warm and snuggly. And I'm letting my mind say all these things, but my body is literally taking me to the woods. You know, I can feel that the body has some kind of connection that it's trumping the brain. And we're not killing the brain. I don't want to be a vegetable. I don't want to say
right.
that way.
Yeah.
it's just overriding it, and the choices I'm making are not based on what the brain is telling me. And it's
that's interesting.
Yeah,
I think you saying that. I think I'm feeling like I'm not remembering, but I think I've been doing that too. Like my brain is saying, but I'm going and doing the other thing anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would invite you to notice it as often as possible,
mm-hmm.
because ultimately, and then make that the goal, you know, cause what do they say? I lost my mind and found my soul. I don't know. It's something. The mind loves drama. I mean, that's my mind does anyways. It just loves drama. And I know it's all about the protection of the being, but you know what? I'll trust my body now for in choices for the ascension. You know, I trust my brain when I'm, you know, well, as much as I can. At this point, it almost seems like maybe I've unplugged her so much, you know. now I have no memories. I can't find words. Telephone numbers are very challenging for me. it's like, you know, maybe there's some part of this, you know, again, so be it. The choice I've made is I'm committed to living this choice out fully. You know, like fully take it to, you know, the mind can still operate. I just won't listen to it. And as often as I realize it, and I tend to realize it more and more and more. And it's funny because for me, the way I realize it is I'm often doing things that I was afraid to do, like speak my truth to Scott. And, you know, there was a time where I wasn't going to the woods as much in the winter. I mean, shucks, last year, I wanted to go to the woods, but we were getting plowed with snow. So I don't know if that was the mind. The body was literally going, well, you know, I would just go sit in my backyard because, I mean, for me personally, snow, there is just something incredibly, you know, the crystalline quality and the purity of the white and the silence that it brings into the air is just, there's a deafening silence that opens me up and just caresses me.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And the smell, the cold, something about the smell of snow, too.
Yeah, it's very powerful. I didn't care that I didn't have the woods because, you know, I just was in my backyard. I would like, it was almost like an igloo. You know, I just made a space for myself. We had that much snow, and it was awesome. You know, I was like, okay. But, yeah, so, you know, I appreciate you sharing. I really do, because I think it's important that, you know, these are kind of like, I don't know that they're the new ways of being. It's just, this is how I am now. This seems to work for me right now. You know, there might come a time, you know, where the higher mind kicks in, so to speak, and I stop having these thoughts. If I do, great. And if not, you know, I'll just continue to get pissed off and go to the woods the next day and clear it. I guess.
It just feels like making plans is, you know, something that makes me laugh. I mean, I'll make plans and then it's like, it's probably going to change, you know. And I mean, certain things, you know, we sort of have to do linearly if other people are relying on us or whatever. But sometimes even that, you know, it's just from moment to moment, like we're just following our noses, kind of.
Yeah.
And I guess that speaks to what you were just saying about listening to what your body is saying, go to the woods. And
well, but that's so funny you say that. The smell is brilliant. I think that is another very strong, like I love the Young Living essential oils. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of people, my boss for one, Anya and Sahana, I only see them once a week now, but the mom, you know, she's like, I had myrrh on. And she's like, she walks into the kitchen. She goes, "What stinks?" Like, I raise my hand. Oh, that'd be me. She's like, "What do you, you know, is that perfume?" And I was like, "No, I haven't been to the woods. And, you know, it's a very earthy smell and it, you know, brings me pleasure." I was like, "Do you want me to wash it off?" She's like, No. I wouldn't wear it. But, you know, and they were going out that night. And I talked to the girls. I was like, "Does this smell bother you?" And they were both like, "Nope, we're fine." And you can really see how people don't utilize the presence of smell as, you know, a formidable connection to soul and self. You know what I mean?
Well, that's so funny that you mentioned myrrh, because I love that. I love spikenard. That's another one that some people find difficult. But, it's so emotionally soothing and very earthy.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a time when I was in a difficult situation at a job I had, and myrrh was like kind of a protective energy.
Oh, interesting.
And I was wearing it, and this coworker, like, she had a scarf over her face. Like, she really hated this.
Yeah.
Like, well, I didn't mean, I wasn't using it to, you know, as a weapon.
Right.
But I did sort of have a little inner smirk.
Smirk.
Yeah, smirk.
No, well, but I do see, no, I definitely, I have had plenty of people around me that they're like, "Listen, what's that stink you got on?" It's like, it's healing me, you know, if you don't like it, you know. But I get it. If you're working in an office, there's got to be, I guess, some kind of give and take. I mean, this is why I don't work in an office.
Yes, exactly.
I work around kids. And, you know, I mean, and the mom is super, you know, I mean, she's my family now. We've been together 6 years. So, you know, she was like, "You know, I didn't offend you." I was like, "You didn't offend me." It's like, this works for me. It doesn't have to work for you. This is, you know, go out with your husband. And let me take care of your kids. It's all good. But, but yes, I have, you know, my mom hated, quote unquote, smelly stuff. And, I think what it does is it opens them up faster than what they want to be open to. You know, because that's what I get. I mean, I am, but I love the connection, because I would imagine smell goes straight to the pineal gland. I mean,
well,
it's interesting.
It's that
too.
Other gland at the base of the brain, the amygdala, is triggered by the oils or by smell, fragrances.
Now, isn't that the reptilian part? The reptilian part?
I think so, yeah. And it's like
All right.
It's like it goes right into the emotional body, too. Because you know how you can smell something and all of a sudden remember you know, something from years ago. Music is like that too, brings up those feelings. But
absolutely.
Yeah.
And but see, my goal is to integrate everything. You know, I'm like, so therefore, I just put on White Angelica in honor of honor of this conversation.
And I just found my bottle of myrrh that is so stuck closed in such a mess.
Oh, yeah, I had
to. Oh, I need to get myrrh, obviously. I can't even smell it. Okay.
That's sweet. Yeah. So definitely, even though I was reading an article by somebody who said something, it was very interesting. They talked about the five senses. Instead of us using them, we believe we use the five senses to interpret our environment. He says the five senses are actually creating our environment.
Oh,
and
that's
interesting. I thought, in fact, let me see if I can find it. I found the article on Spirit Library, which you can find your articles on there as well.
Yes, I love Spirit Library. The people are very nice and need people to donate to them, I think.
I donate as well. Because it's a great one-stop shopping for channelings. It really, really is. And I've always been I enjoyed channelings. It's Tiburon.
Yes. He's very interesting, that guy.
Yeah.
I have a friend who always sends me his articles.
Nice. Yeah, exactly.
So that was the most recent one, because I was scrolling through that today. Okay, I'll have to check that out. Good.
Yeah, and he talks a lot about the aura, how important I think it's him. I hope it's him. I believe it's him. Because it doesn't sound like an aura thing, but I believe that's where he said it. Please pardon me if I'm wrong. It was still a good article. And if it was someplace else, I apologize.
Well, I noticed that he was on today's Spirit Library. I don't check them every day, but I, for some reason, I looked through the one that came through today. He had an article.
Yeah, he was talking about air travel, which I thought was very interesting.
Air travel. I had the most interesting experience when I went to Florida in January. On the plane. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I was just flooded with this is archaic. This is an archaic way of traveling. How come we are still using this method of traveling after, you know, how many years have we been flying? Like, I don't know, almost 100 years? And
1910 or something,
you know,
I believe, or something like that, yeah?
There's definitely been some suppression of, I know this is pretty obvious.
Right. That's
so
okay,
many,
share, express. Go ahead. Right
regards.
On.
Suppression of new technologies. And, you know, it just really struck me as like we ought to be way more advanced in how we get around than we are. And
right.
I guess that's all I have to say about that.
Well, wait. I'm gonna play with you a little bit because, I could not agree more, but it's very interesting because have you ever, kind of questioned yourself, well, how open am I to new ideas?
I don't know. I mean, I feel open, but sometimes there are things where I feel that there's a resistance. And I think when I really think about it, it's like that resistance is coming from sort of a collective human thing.
Yeah.
Not that I'm trying to shrug off any responsibility, but I am a human, and I feel like sometimes there is this resistance that I think comes from a greater part of our whole.
I agree, but I also think that, like for me, I can only speak for myself. Like, I'm open to things, and I'll just throw something out there. The moon is an artificial structure. It's not organic.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay, that's a deep thing for, you know, you can't say it to most people, you know, because most people are like, no, of course the moon is, you know, a natural, and it's like, but you can kind of see how we have definitely energetically been, the new technology, free energy has been suppressed, hands down, I don't question that at all, but what each and every one of us can do to help bring in the the new energy, not just devices, but actual ways of living is look at many of the things that might be coming through, you know, in the conspiracy theory kind of mode. And because how rigid are we in our own ability to take in, you know, new ideas? Like for me, the new idea is expressing myself. I mean, this is definitely, when I first met Scott, I was doing the I'm a good girl dance. I mean, I was thinking about this, you know, a couple of months ago going, I just wanted to be the perfect little girl. I mean, I was totally infatuated with him and just, I wanted him to love me and I was going to do the good girl dance. And what's so funny is when we have broken up and separated on several occasions over several years, the first time Scott ever broke up with me, he basically called me up at like 11 o'clock that night. I had gone out with some friends that night. I wasn't with him. Called me up at 11 o'clock that night and goes, oh, my ex is coming back home in 6 hours. We're done. Bye. It was like, I mean, truth be told, the good girl didn't get me squat. You know? I was like, what? I mean, I was crying. I was flipping out. And, you know, the truth is, I entered the stage of I became the other woman. I was like, no, there, you can have her, but you're not getting rid of me. I still need to see you. I couldn't even grasp letting go of him. And it's interesting because, of course, that is not a good girl thing. But what I'm watching in my own experience is, well, how many times is it that I'm following the rules? What are the rules? You know, like, you know, the famous statement, you know, death and taxes. That's the only things that, you know, are, you know, whatever, the truths in life or whatever. And it's like, it's so funny because from my perspective, both of those are blatant lies. You know, there is no death. It's only a rebirth into, you know, back into the non-physical. You know, and taxes at this point, you know, shucks, all you have to do is read, you know, the stuff coming out about that is, okay, that's all corrupt as well. You know, it's like, so how many other beliefs do we have that are, you know, what we were conditioned?
I think that's what's going to be happening more and more, that talk about paradigm shifts, like so many beliefs are going to be shattered. I think having to do with the history of humanity and,
right.
You know, what you were talking about the moon. When I first came across that information, I was like, no way, no, you know. And then the more I read about it, the more I'm like, oh, my God. This
right.
is, I can totally see this being part of the history of humanity. Like when
yeah, exactly.
when that moon was put into place, what it did, is that what caused the deluge, you know? I don't know. It's
oh,
also,
right, huh?
It's so wonderful
right.
and mysterious. And a couple of years ago, you know, back to Egyptian stuff, I was, I kept getting this image of the Sphinx just sticking, like part of the head sticking up out of a sea, this wild raging sea and the rain coming down. And it's like the Sphinx is there in the middle of this. Why, you know, what's that all about? You know, that because they've determined that all the erosion around the Sphinx is water.
Water,
you know.
Yeah.
Water
yeah.
erosion, that it's much older
Shit.
Than they thought. And, of course, that would change how old all the pyramids are, and that's going to make everyone going to have to go back to the drawing table on that one. And a lot of the
exactly.
academics don't want to go there with lots
exactly.
of many scientific theories because, you know. But anyway, what you were talking about, that kind of resistance to new information, I think that's what you – maybe that's not exactly how you
well,
worded
yeah,
it.
Well, yeah, yeah, no. Well, new ideas, you know, conspiracy ideas, which are basically things people have been talking about who have, you know, because I look at it and I go, I think it was George who basically said this. He goes, okay, do you know what's going on in the world of ballet? And it's like, no, I don't follow ballet. I wouldn't know who's an up-and-coming star. I wouldn't know who's been a star and retiring. You know, I don't know the political aspect of it. I don't follow ballet, so I don't know what's going on. But the reason why I bring up the conspiracy is this conspiracy theory is these are people that have really done some homework. I mean, David Icke, David Wilcox, you know, I'm not saying you have to take everything they say hook, line, and sinker, but it really is becoming obvious to me that, you know, we can say, yes, you know, the energy, the Tesla coil and all that stuff has been suppressed since over 100 years. Well, but the question is, now, okay, so, and there's also hundreds of people that are starting to create these free energy devices, unconnected all around the world. I mean, it's actually becoming part of consciousness. But are we ready to have that consciousness? I mean, if we're still playing the program of, you know, the government takes care of us, the doctors take care of us, you know, free energy is about nothing, you know. You know, it's such a, like you said, it's such a paradigm shifter. Instead of just noticing that it's been suppressed, okay, so what belief is suppressed in self? Because the more of us that can start opening up to these new beliefs and actually living them, and when I say that, meaning living our truth, facing our fears, and not necessarily worrying about prosecution, not necessarily worrying about annihilation or being ostracized, but living our truth, in my humble opinion, that's what's going to bring the energy in. That's almost like the Abraham Hicks where, okay, meet the frequency at the frequency where it's at. Because Facebook tends to point out that which has been suppressed, and there is a place for that, absolutely, because, you know, there are not everybody, you know, knows, you know, the conspiracy. I go to the conspiracy theory simply because what I've kind of come to become aware of on my journey of wanting, I want to know the truth. I've wanted to know the truth since my awakening 16 years ago. And what I have found is conspiracy theories are all based on truth. they're not even theories. They're all real. I mean, from the reptilian agenda to the control. I mean,
no, wait, I just have to say something. The survival of the fittest is a theory.
Is a theory.
But
that's
they
exactly
teach that
right.
In school like it's truth.
Yeah.
So I just, when you said theory, I just started to laugh because that's been something that's been really bothering me lately.
Oh, good. But no, I love when you share. Yeah, exactly. See, and this is a matter of, so, you know, the awareness has to, if it awakens in ourselves, that's the support of the entire human race. Because I don't think it's going to take much, like, we're not going to need 51%. This is not a congressional hearing we're talking. In nature, I really, if like 7% of us actually, what I've been calling lately is running on full cylinders. You know, all our chakras opened and running full steam. 7% of us can manifest it into this dimension. 7%. Mm. I mean, that's not a lot. You know, and it the 7% that can do it, we're not looking for the world to compensate us. The world at the moment's not going to compensate us for doing this work. It because it's too busy, you know, trying to keep its head above water, playing by the rules that the world is going, you know, to shit in a handbasket. Right. So it's not, you know, it's not their responsibility. well, it is, but they're not. It's our responsibility. Okay.
Yeah. And that, well, that's the sovereignty part too. But when you talk about paradigm shifting, I feel like with this wave of energy that we're being inundated with, you know, that higher vibration is really causing people to awaken. And when you have that awakening moment, all of a sudden you realize that doctors, government, police, you know, all of these authorities are meaningless, completely meaningless, and not even, like, really of the truth. And that's the big paradigm shift. That's like the awakening that
beautiful.
It's so personal. It's such a personal experience that it's so true because, you know, I mean, it's like a real experience because it's so personal.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's the paradigm shift. It's not even going to come, I don't think it's even about, like, disclosure. That's part of it. But I think more so it's about each person's own real experience with what they're, with their own awakening, I guess. Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm sure. Exactly. This is not a. I don't need the government to tell me the ascension is happening. You know, when people are like, you know, well, the government hasn't. You know, like you just said, let's just pick that one. Disclosure. I mean, for real? For real? You need the government to tell you that there's aliens?
Right.
Yeah. In 2012, when I mean, I would imagine at this point, everyone has had some kind of experience in their dreams, because here's part of the conspiracy theory. We're all being mind-controlled by the reptilian agenda. That's a theory that, in my humble opinion, is truth. And it's truth because it's coming through the TV, it's coming through the, you know what I mean? They have control over the agenda. So instead of looking at the agenda and pointing it out, my goal is, well, how do I get out of this control? How do I become sovereign so that my choices are not based on the manipulation of sound through the TV and frequencies, or HARP, or the chemtrails?
Or and coming that, from the moon itself. They that's
Or coming from the moon
theories.
Itself. Exactly.
Yeah.
And the way to do that is, you can make it simple in the statement of saying, go into your heart, or I have found the body. The body is not being controlled. If you're, I guess it also actually, you got to connect to your soul. You got to, I mean, prior to me letting go of my mind, I worked with a shaman. I realized this the other night, we were talking about it. I worked with a shaman for like 3 years on connecting me back with my spirit. And I remember when we first started working, he was like, you know, your spirit is very lost. You know, I did cocaine for 12 years, and in like the last 8, heavy. You know, so like, really? Really? My spirit is lost? Imagine that. I just had the intuitiveness to go, well, you know, is this an impossible task? Can we bring me back to my spirit? He's like, of course, you know, and it took me 3 years of diligence and holosyncing, and, you know, I worked my bloody ass off to get back to my spirit, which I believe at this point the frequency is, it won't take as long. You know, just a desire to want to be connected to the higher aspect of self. I mean,
yes, and also the fact that so many more people are holding that energy, that it's making it more available for others who want to come on board with it.
Right on. And I've heard that. Yes, it is. That's why the agenda is really putting pressure to not connect us to our higher selves.
Oh, they've lost. I feel they've lost the game.
Well, they have, but it's not in the arena, not in the Earth arena. In other words, they haven't got on, you know, CNN News and go, we give up, you guys won, you know.
Yeah.
They're pumping out more chemtrails. They're, you know, Monsanto or whatever that drug food company, you know, they're still pumping us, you know, because.
But isn't it amazing, speaking of Monsanto, that I've been seeing so much of, like, different countries, somebody's suing Monsanto.
Yeah, I
other countries
too, yeah.
are, you know, rejecting their products, and it's like
their
really
seeds. Yeah.
Truth out
yeah.
is coming, you know. Truth out to
yeah.
Monsanto.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, well,
cool.
It's so funny, because if you, I have found, because one of the things I thought was interesting, Tuesday, there was a woman, I'm not going to use her name, she was on Facebook, and she was on a rant, you know, all day, part of my friendship was fuck this and fuck that, all her postings. And, you know, and I went into, you know, express it. I love it, you know, express yourself. And, you know, I was fucking this and fucking that with her. And I was happy for her because she kept going, you know, in one of her posts, she was like, if I wrote nice things about you before, I wasn't being inauthentic. I meant it then. I'm just pissed now. And I was like, listen, you're allowed to be both. You don't have to keep this constant vigil of being a good girl. You can be angry and still be authentic and still be a good girl. And what was interesting, I could feel it, like I was, I would see a lot of the Monsanto posts and, like, I could feel it. I swear to God, at one point, it's like it jumped off the screen and this darkness came in me. And I was like, because it's really important, I would say, that at least for me, you know, be conscious when you're dancing in all that negativity. And there is a ton of negativity being pointed out right now. Because, I mean, that the food, I started thinking about it. It's like, wow, you know, they've pretty much nailed everything. You know, it's like, because I could feel myself going into like a fearful spiral. You know, I tend to have issues with suicide. And I could feel it. I could feel, and again, I think that's also very mass conscious. Now I've had this pretty much my whole life. I've always wanted to check out, and I honor it. You know, when I think those thoughts, I don't beat myself up for thinking them. I'm like, you know, I just allow myself to go into, I really don't want to be here, you know, let's die, you know, because it's interesting because I do get the sense right now, you know, where, you know, Whitney Houston and stuff. I mean, she was only 48. Granted, I get it. You know, she did the coke, she did the drugs, she did the alcohol. But I get the sense that, you know, what if you want out, you can get out right now. You know, like, those opportunities are going to show up. Because as honest as I am about accepting suicide, which I am also feeling for the first time in my life, okay, be conscious of what you're saying about with that, Goldie, because as much as you are okay with the dying part, do you really want to go right now? I mean, really, do you really want to go? And, you know, when I get still and quiet, you know, the answer is, you know, emphatically no. No, you know, I didn't stand for all this crap my whole life to jump ship right before, you know, it all kind of, you know, it's clear, dude, we are actually in the 2012 date. I mean, come on, this is, but it, you know, it is a, it is a challenge. It's a definite challenge to be here now.
It is. But I think it's more exciting now, because I used to feel that way too, especially like in the 80s or even in the 90s, I would get these thoughts like, what am I doing here? I don't belong here. And I would, you know, knowing that I wouldn't really ever do myself in, but
exactly. Just
thinking about it, you know, and then thinking about it would upset me, thinking about not wanting to be here. Well, it's like, you know, I can make myself deathly ill then. So I'll go out that way, and it will look better. My family won't be as upset. But then it's like, oh,
wow, okay. Have thought about this. All right, right on.
Yeah, yeah.
I like
and
your honesty.
It's like,
yep.
I don't want to do, you know, I mean, I'm sticking around. It's too exciting now. And, you know,
yeah,
cause now
exactly.
That I'm really feeling like how we are, you know, we're manifesting and we're learning how to do that as a group consciousness at some point. I think we're going to learn that. And it's like, you know, I want to see you at the after party. It's going to be a blast, you know?
It is going to be a blast. I agree. Well, and you know, exactly. I mean, this is 2012. I mean, I can't even explain it other than, I mean, like you, I've never actually attempted suicide. I've only ever thought about suicide. You know, there is a deep part of me also that, you know, I am selfish. I am selfish to the core. And no. Because, you know, I have this, like, visual of me that as soon as I'm dead, because, like, I've died in dreams and stuff, and, you know, I've had shamanic experiences where, you know, you die to yourself and, so I get it. You know, I have died on some levels. And shit, letting go of the mind, boy, that is definitely a form of death as well. But what's so... I just lost my train of thought.
Well, you were saying that you feel like as soon as you... If you were to die like that, as soon as you die...
Right, as soon as I die, I totally have the presence of... I will kick myself in the ass and there will be nothing. It would be the only thing I couldn't change. You know, I can change my mind from here. I can break up and not break up. You know, I can get on the treadmill for 100 days and then not do it for 100 days. I can, because I'm also a firm believer that it's okay to change our minds. I'm like a, I'm a distributor of conscious choice. You know, that you can believe 100% in a choice, and just like we were discussing on Tuesday night, and within moments, hours, days, whatever, completely change your mind, and that's okay. There is no shame in committing to the choice, and then however long it afterwards, changing your mind and committing to the exact opposite. There is not only no shame in that, it's highly recommended in this turbulent time of change to experience it all. You know, experience both sides of the polarity on some level. But death, so I wouldn't be able to change my mind on that one.
I know, and I've had that feeling too, like, or the thought, like, you know, if I were to die by my own hand, which I'm not ever going to do, but just if.
Okay.
I don't think I would ever do that, but I think I would be overcome with such a feeling of disappointment, like, oh, you jerk. It's part of the game, and you just checked out of the whole game and blew it. And, you know, that's what you can't get back. And I think that disappointment, oh, you know, I think that would be like on a soul level to me, for me, and would be, you know. And I'm just talking about just that feeling of not being able to, you know, just the struggle of being here and how hard it is. I'm not talking about if somebody was deathly ill and in a lot of pain and chose
suicide in that way.
That's
point.
A whole different story, and it's
that
not for
is,
me to judge either. And it's
no,
not
Dr.
for me to,
Kevorkian,
I mean,
I love him. I saw his movie with Al Pacino. I thought it was, you know, what a compassionate man. Because, you know, I'm a firm believer. Don't tell me I can't do anything to my body. My body is mine. This bullshit that it's against the law. Excuse me, there is no law that tells me what I can and cannot do to my body. And an abortion falls under that same premise. I can do whatever I want to my body. If I'm hosting something, that's my choice. If I want to choose not to host it, I will choose not to host it without a single ounce of regret, shame, or guilt. That's my body. I choose what feeds on me, well, on some conscious levels. But I'm very passionate about, if I was in chronic pain, I mean, I go into sadness. Sadness is my, why is the earth so sad? You know, being so mistreated, the plants, the animals, the babies, the children, breaks my heart. Just breaks my. That's usually when I'm ready to leave. I don't leave in anger. God knows, in anger, you know, I'm fired up. Let's kick some ass.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to say something else too,
please,
about the idea of suicide, because I have no, you know, judgment about it, whether it's right or wrong. It's a totally personal, you know, choice, but I have seen it totally devastate families and friends I was reading one of Barbara Hanclough's books, and she acknowledges in the very beginning that, I guess, in between one book being written and this book being written, that one of her sons committed suicide.
Oh.
And and he was an adult.
That's hard for
and
a parent. That's hard for a
parent. Oh, my God. And she said that she honors his choice. And it just just gives me chills just thinking about it now.
Yeah, that's deep.
And that she honors his choice of doing that. And that's, I just thought that was the most beautiful and profound thing that, you know, a person could say about that. And
I agree. She's walking her talk. Right on. That's very Nesrit conscious. That's what that is. She's just conscious of, well, and because, you know, the ascension, you know, there's potentially different, you know, there's the organic ascension, there's the technology ascension, there's the galactic ascension, and, you know, I mean, I don't have children of my own, but I would imagine, you know, the same thing. You know, what if one, you know, if a parent's going organic and a child's going technology, I mean, that would be, you know, you know, it's part of the belief system that we need an upgrade on children. Children come through us. I don't believe that any parent owns a child. I never have. It was amazing. When I was in early childhood college, we learned that animals received rights in this country legally before children. There were animal right laws written before there were laws written to provide safety for children.
Wow.
And because we look at them as, you know, property. Women were the same way. I mean, it's, again, and when you know that, you know, it really speaks so much about the agenda. You know, the divinity of life is just completely squashed, you know, and everything is about the mechanics, you know, the masculine from a totally out of balance state. And, you know, it's just interesting. I'm deep and dark tonight. Thanks for being here,
really,
Nance.
We're covering a lot of territory tonight. From ascension to suicide.
Handbook for dummies. No, wait, I got it better. Another reality show for dummies. Yeah! Oh, God, do your shoulders and neck ache as much as I do? God, I can't.
Oh, I've been having a lot of that lately, too. And strange middle of my back pain. It's like
only
on one side. So, you know, it's uncomfortable, but I really try not to take any of this seriously, because then I just think it's the physical body trying to deal with
right
the higher vibration. No,
I totally agree with you. You know, it's so funny because I have done, quote unquote, the emotional work my whole awakened life to avoid the physical pain. Because I used to say, listen, I'll handle the emotional pain. Don't, you know, chronic physical pain, I would check out for them. I mean, I've just been a baby about, you know. And what's so funny, though, I was talking to Janine today. At this point, I can honestly say, I don't even feel like I remember what it's like to be pain-free. I mean, I've been in physical pain easily for 10 years. I mean, but progressively recently, it's getting more intense where, you know, like yesterday, every joint, I mean, elbows, shoulders, knuckles, my ankle. It was like, you know, is there a joint that doesn't hurt? So,
my knuckles,
I mean, just your knuckles. I mean, my elbow. It was like, are you kidding me? Even my elbows ache. It's like, wow. And I'm drinking the water, you know. But, because, see, this is where I got to watch myself, and I recommend for everybody. If you go into, like, the mind wants to fix, you know, well, okay, are you drinking enough water? Are you eating enough fruit? Eat the leafy greens. Do this. You know, run this. You know, it's, I like the simplicity. Like, Janine gives me very simple answers. She's like, get some oxygen. Move a little and get some oxygen. That can, you know what I'm saying? I can manifest that in a thousand different ways, from the treadmill to being outside, whatever. You know, it's when my mind, you know, hooks onto something and then goes, you know, okay, I'm now on a microbiotic regimen with this, that, and the other, you know, supplements and, you know, drinking this, taking that, calling this, poking this, punching that. It's like, you know, I don't believe right now, because once I calm down and get my center again, the body literally tells me, listen, this is not to be cured. It's part, like I was saying earlier, it's part of it. You know, it's like you're, what we have to remember is, instead of just focusing on the contractual pain of birthing, you know, keep in mind, and at the front burner, not the back burner, but the front burner, we are birthing a baby. I mean, that baby is a new species of human beings, you know, where there's, you know, no chakras. We only have one chakra in our heart. It's the inner sun. We won't be on a chakra system anymore. We'll be Homo Illuminis, not Homo sapiens. And this is,
well,
this
I like
is.
That. I haven't heard that about the chakras, but.
Yeah, wow. Well, George basically says seven chakras or nine. He goes, that's based in fragmentation. When we go into the fifth dimension, it would be just one source. And there's no sun in the sky. It would basically be that we will all radiate our own light from within. And that will be every living thing in the fifth dimension. Like, there's no technology in the fifth dimension. There's no plastic, steel, electricity. What are the other things he said? You know, it's just such an organic. He's like, you'll build a house and you'll ask the stone, do you want to be a part of this abode? And the stone will say yes, or the stone will say no. And, you know, everything's consciously aware of everything that, you know, wants to play with everything consciously. You know, nature will come into our lives because it's part of the journey of the tree to be a part of our experience.
Mm-hmm.
So because he even said, like, the house plant you bring into your house, you'll ask which plant wants to go indoors, because it'll be a totally different experience indoors than it would outdoors. And some plants want that part of their journey, and some plants don't. And, you know, when I hear stuff like that, it's like, that's the life I, you know, how do I get there? You know, that's Shambhala. That's where I want to be.
Mm.
You know,
that's really interesting, because I've been doing this meditation where, like, the light is already within us.
Right.
And so
on.
We, like, activate this light and shine it out through each chakra. That's just been a visualization that's been coming through. And it's
okay.
Like for over, I don't know, like, I guess in the 90s I started, you know, going to people who did guided meditations and stuff. And they were always, you know, connecting with the light out in the universe and bringing it in.
Yeah,
which is
no more
doing.
Of that.
That's okay, but it's
okay.
Like, I think it was to ignite that light that was maybe just a little tiny flame inside of us, and it's like we're using that cosmic energy to grow it within us, and then using the earth energy to bring it up too. But now it's like it's this light that's within us, and it's somewhere, like, maybe it's different with everyone, but it's not directly at the heart. It's sort of, I'm not sure exactly where I locate it in my body, but it just begins to radiate kind of just in the center. And,
yeah, exactly.
And again,
exactly.
So, and I've been guided just to let it shine out through each chakra. So we're activating the chakras from within. And then eventually I could see where it wouldn't really be about that. We would just be luminous, like, what was that, homo illuminous?
Homo illuminous, yeah.
I love that. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I want to say,
I
know
totally.
I said a little something about George before, but I really have a lot of respect for what he does. It's just,
oh, right on. No, listen, I love the
so
honesty.
Many people.
He would love the honesty. He loves that. You know
what
I mean?
So many
truth.
People with these different scenarios that it's like, or, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah.
And nobody really knows what's going to happen. That's what I think.
Nobody knows. But like when you set the intention, like, to know what's going on with the magnetics, see, you're making conscious choices, you know, because I'm a personal believer that, you know, by setting your intention, you're taking responsibility for the journey you're on, which is ultimately connecting with your soul, because, like, there's so many paradoxes in depending on what level of consciousness we're at, you know, it's like, I get it. You know, free will, there is free will in the third dimension and the fourth dimension, and yet once I connected to my soul,
are you there?
There is no more free will. Oh, I'm here. Did you block out?
What?
Okay. Can you hear me? Nancy? Okay. Nancy will call back. I'll just keep talking. She'll call right back, I'm sure. So the free will, we have free will in the third and fourth dimension, but once we're connected to our soul, there is no more free will. I mean, in the sense of the experiences that you're dealing with and the people that you're dealing with, your soul is bringing them to you because it's recognizing what you need to be balanced in order to get, if indeed your goal is to go through the ascension. I would imagine it doesn't matter what you need, what your goal is, your soul is still running the show. I mean, even if you believe you're disconnected from it, you're never truly disconnected from it.
Okay, well, speaking of disconnection, I got disconnected.
You got disconnected. Well, I heard you not hear me. We could hear you, but I could hear you. But you did perfect. Exactly. Hang on. And this has been, it happened on Monday night's show. I think it had something to do with the solar flares, to be honest. Like it messes up transmission, and I'm just glad you reacted and responded perfectly. So that was great. And I just keep talking, you know.
I know. I figured that. Did she know that I was out?
Well, only because I didn't until you said hello. I was like, Nance? And you went, hello. And I went, call back. And you hung up. And I was like, right on. And I go, she can't even hear me. She's just doing that. So that was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. So, yeah. So, well, what I was sharing was basically that different levels of awareness apply whether we have free will or not. You know, free will is something that's very important to a third dimensional being, but I have found on my journey connecting with my spirit and my soul, I don't want my personality, you know, to screw things up. I want to surrender free will to my soul. And what is very interesting about that level of awareness is also the level of awareness that came from the level of awareness that There's an agenda, an alien agenda that's running my mind anyways. In other words, what I thought was free will never was anyways. It was just almost like the freedom to go, well, I'm not going to connect with my soul, so now I'm going to be manipulated by the agenda. You know, and don't I feel strong and free and proud? It's like, no, you know, once
well,
you get
you
that
know,
awareness.
I wondered about that.
Okay.
Because one time, or maybe it was in one of your interviews with George that you talked for a very brief moment about free will, and he said, oh, we don't have free will, and you agreed. And I'm like, what? And then what? So is it that, okay, I still want you to answer what that's about, but
okay.
I'm feeling that it has to do with beliefs, because I've been like really, what's really up in my mind is our beliefs that were held in the collective consciousness that just aren't true.
Okay.
And that we're in the process of, you know, we have a chance to clear and to release that, those beliefs, but also, something just flew right out of my head. Beliefs, collective consciousness. Oh, neuropathways, like creating new neuropathways and disconnecting those
right
things
on.
That have to do
right
with beliefs.
On.
But does that have to do with this free will thing that we don't have, or you know, can you talk about that a little more?
It's through the level of awareness. Like when you become aware, when we connect with our soul, it will often guide us to make choices that go directly against the conditioning. And so the understanding of the free will, like I have free will to choose to give my power to my soul instead of the ego's free will says, you know, don't tell me what to do. I'll make my own choices, which is, I mean, I understand that, but what you're ultimately saying is I'm not going to connect to my soul. I'm going to make my own choices through, you know, the guidance of, you know, I'm looking to make a lot of money to be successful. And, I'm, you know, it's like, because when we talk about the will of what? The will of our soul or the will of our ego? I mean, because there really is two agendas going on here.
Hmm.
And so free will, in my humble opinion, applies to the will of the ego. Soulful living, which is a surrendering of free will. So you're not really... you're not motivated by the earthly successes. You're motivated by virtues, and you're motivated by, like I said, you know, my relationship with Scott is not to have a relationship with Scott. It's to help me trigger and uncover deep-seated energetic pockets of me not feeling worthy or me not feeling I have the right to speak up or all this stuff that comes through intimacy. I mean, it's clear to me the last not the last, but one of the biggest pieces that I needed to have the right partner in my life to clear up the intimacy issue, and it had to be in somebody just like Scott, who's strong and arrogant. And it's not that it's coming from a mental thing. I'm not mentally drawn to him. Energetically, I am still absolutely physically and energetically attracted to Scott, which keeps me here to do the work. Where the free will would have said, screw this, I'm getting on Match.com. I can find a much better partner from a, you know, Prince Charming paradigm. You know what I'm saying? So...
Yeah.
The free will depends on, well, what's the motivation? Why do you do what you want to do in your life and in your experience?
Hmm. That's interesting. I'm going to play around with that. The soul.
Cool.
And
the
soul and versus the agenda. I mean, because I don't know about like ego. Like, we need the ego for something. Not sure what that's all about.
No, well, I mean, truth be told, the ego is part of what makes the legs move to walk and drive the car and brush our teeth and have sex and eat. You know, in other words, it's never about eliminating anything.
Right.
It's about rearranging. All right, who's driving the car? Who's in the passenger side? Who's in, you know what I mean? Like, never... Because, you know, everything about the ascension is integration. That means even the actual saying of releasing things on some level is that's an allusion to what we're doing. It just feels like a release when we have that fusion, that wholeness of a situation from... Because, like, one of the things I got recently is that... to understand something from its polar opposite is profound. You know, to see something, like, you know, you'll see, like, okay, that person's pissing me off. And then you can, one of the polar opposites can be, well, there's always this space to ask the question, okay, what's in me? Whatever they're pissing me off about, where is that in me? That's one way to get to an opposite. But, I mean, the
right.
Opposite is also like how can I learn to love somebody who works in a slaughterhouse? You know, because that in the fifth dimension, I will love that person. So how can I experience that now? And, you know, there just seems to be... If I can easily see the hate in something, I have to find the ability, not necessarily to feel it at first, but to just from a knowledge point of view, what's the polar opposite of it? You know, where is the love of it? You know, because like if you look at anger is usually fear. And if you look at hatred is usually a lack of love. You know, in other words, because nothing's created in a vacuum. So if something's triggering you from the negative, and you can find the positive, that's a good space to start. But when you can feel both of them, both charges, the negative and the positive, there is literally a fusion that takes place in the actual experiencing of both of those. That is, it's alchemical in nature, and it's profound. Because you know, on some level, I do that with my relationship with Scott. You know, I mean, I never hate him, but oh my God, does he angers me. I mean, he pulls at my he pulls at my beliefs of the Prince Charming relationship because that's what I'm clear in my own heart that I'm reprogramming. I have a program that, you know, the man should be everything for me and save me. And here's the ironic part. I have dated guys who would kiss my ass and do anything I wanted. And here's the polar, you know, the irony of the polarization of that. I treated them like shit. I mean, so poorly. it's just amazing because that's the nature of balance. You know, balance isn't about eliminating anything. It's about finding that neutral point right smack in the center where it's not either. It's not light. It's not dark. It's just a point of isness in between, or the point of the paradox, that the power is in the point of the paradox, which is where it's both. And
I studied shiatsu, you know, the pressure point massage many years ago, and the teacher was talking about balance. And I'll never forget this. She drew a circle and drew a line through it, and she said, "That is not balance." And then she drew a circle and drew the yin-yang and that curve. It's like flowing. Yeah. It's always moving. And you've always got to make those adjustments to keep it balanced.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, that the whole different concept of that made so much more sense, and it felt so much more like life.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
Exactly. Great, great visual. And we're actually in the Homo Illuminis. The fusion of yin-yang will happen. So now it's just one. Because, I mean, that's essentially what I'm getting the ascension is all about. The descension was us separating, coming through, you know, dimensions upon coming down through the dimensions, you know, the 7th, 6th, 5th, 4th, 3rd, to separate and experience life from the descended separation state. And the ascension is rising back up through the dimensions, gathering all the pieces and experiences, and fusing them back into ourselves. I mean, that's how I see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, easier said than done, but, you know, simplicity usually works. I like to find, get it down to its base. So what's the base? And I think that's why it's important, why I try not to use the words releasing, even though I still do too, but I try to stay consistent that it's not about letting go. Letting go is the descension. It's about gathering now. You know, now that puts a different focus on my life, because if I'm gathering my shadow side, Scott becomes the perfect candidate to be in my life right now. You know, if I'm not gathering the dark, then it doesn't make sense. And why am I with him? And again, his dark and he's so authentically, like, he always used to say to me, "I won't apologize for who I am. I am who I am, and if you don't like it, you know, get out." And, you know, I wanted that to be in me. I was like, you know, I'd look at that and go, "Wow, you're amazing." You know, but in the meantime, you know, he's a dark soul. I mean, he has his dark moments and, you know, I won't even get into it, but he has his dark moments. And what's interesting is he's definitely lighted up, so to speak, in that he's not so, whatever he went through when his father's death happened, he morphed, you know, on some level, because he just doesn't get as angry anymore. He doesn't talk in racial slurs as much anymore. And that's why now it's appropriate to start bringing up, okay, that tone, we got to work on that tone. And he said, okay, I will work. And, you know, I mean, yesterday and today, he's, you know, he came home from work and, you know, there's a jovialness to him. And it's like, wow, that's, you know, fucking A. That's awesome. Because it actually becomes part of the experience. And, you know, because I think when everything is in divine readiness, that is, if I had told him to, you know, watch his tone when he was drinking, you know, you're right, that wouldn't have been exactly that, you know, it just wasn't the time. It wasn't the time. So I there's divine timing in all this as well, which, and again, it's not like you were saying, I'm not planning this is just seems to be okay. Now it's my turn to integrate my authentic anger, because, you know, God knows, growing up, I stuffed a lot of that. And if people ask, how do I know if I've stuffed anger? Do you have a lot of fear in your life? If you've got a lot of fear, you've stuffed a lot of anger, because when you start letting it come out, that's when you're integrating the fear and see, those are polar opposites, anger and fear. You know, it's so interesting to work, you know, with both sides, first from an intellectual point of view, then from an experiential point of view, and did wonders for me, so I highly recommend it.
And, you know, it's interesting. I, for years, was talking about releasing stuff, and then there, I wonder about that, like, was there, you know, some energy being released, perhaps, but then all of a sudden, probably in the last year, it dawned on me that, oh, it's not about releasing at all. It's about integrating.
Exactly.
And, you know, I mean, that involves all kinds of stuff, like the F word, forgiveness, you know.
Right? You got me with that one.
the other F word.
Okay. The white F word.
Yeah.
As long as you got that joke, good. Okay. No, right on. Right on. Right on.
Yeah.
Well, because it's interesting, if it's only releasing, you know what the polar opposite of releasing is?
Well, would it be just taking it in?
Well, hanging on. Hanging on, not letting go.
Yeah.
And that's because it's like in our words, in our techniques, in our experiences, see, it just, for me, the clarity is so, it's like a brilliant star. It's like, If I'm mentally looking to release things, which is for me, I was mentally building, and you know why I was mentally building? Because I was scared shitless that I wasn't worthy in just my isness, my authenticity. I didn't believe in myself, so I overcompensated by, you know, holosyncing and building merkabas. You know, I wasn't necessarily doing. Some people overcompensate by doing social. You know, they're healing the world because they don't believe in themselves. But there's so much to be garnished from the wisdom of, you know, look at your life and look at it from the polarity, because it can't be just existing from releasing, because life in a polarized dimension can't just create one side. It creates it as a whole, whether we want to see it or not. So now we're just kind of bringing it up from the subconscious, the polar opposites of everything that we were doing. And in that clarity, that's why, I mean, it's brilliant that you came to the idea integration, because what's the opposite of that? You know, separation, which is where we're coming from into integration. It's like being in aligned with life itself. Life itself is integrating, literally, because life itself is moving up the frequency channels, the frequency dimensions. It's so funny because it's like if you come in the middle of this conversation, it's not going to make any sense. Because there's so many paradoxes and so many opposites simultaneously taking place. And, you know, I just wing it because I'm like, you know, did I say that right? And it's like, but I know the truth of the matter is everything happens in its wholeness, even though we might only experience half of it, if that's all our awareness is tuned in to reveal to us. But now,
yeah,
the frequencies are like, okay, I'm tuned into, you know. In other words, if I'm pissed off at somebody else, that's only because I'm pissed off at me. There's no way around that, you know.
Yeah.
Everything Scott is doing to me is me. That is me.
It's the mirror.
Thank you. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the mirror. Exactly.
And, you know, just what you were just saying, I was just thinking integrating the soul into the physical. You know, it's part of it. And then, you know, I was holding this newborn baby, 2 weeks old, my little grandniece today, and just looking at her, and my sister had been saying something about how their digestion, it's really difficult to begin running the digestive process through the body like that.
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, mother's milk is so compatible. But even then, it's difficult. And I was just getting like, oh, yeah, because bringing that's being in the physical body, it's kind of cumbersome in a way, and it's like,
totally
start out as this tiny baby, like completely, you know, dependent on caregivers and in trust. What a journey this is. It's really, really awesome. and then having the feeling too that, you know, when infants are asleep, like maybe their souls aren't totally in their body, they're like traveling around the astrals or something. And I was kind of looking around the room to see if I could catch anything floating.
Nice.
As I'm holding her and sort of getting the feeling of her, you know, her essence, and you know, of course it's all this sweetness, but it's a different vibration from her brother when he was her age. So it's like, oh yeah, of course, it's that unique. We all have that unique vibration.
She was
vibration.
Born in 2012. I mean, wow.
Yeah, and the water
that,
dragon.
That in and of itself, oh yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wait, water dragon. Okay, dragon, but what? Why did you say water? Oh, because of, it's in February.
Well, it's the year of the dragon, but each of those Chinese, you know, astrological signs also contain the elements. So this is a water dragon year.
Oh, I see.
Close to fire, air. And I don't really know how that's determined because I'm trying to figure out what my birth year is.
Yeah, right on. Like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, but
what are you? What are you in Chinese?
I'm a year of the Horus.
Horus. I'm the snake.
Mm.
Which, you know, I'll tell you too, once I, you know, started acknowledging my reptilian, because I've got a dark side. Absolutely, I've got a dark side, and I'm not afraid nor ashamed to admit it. Then it hit me. It's like, oh, the year of the snake. It's like, wow, you were born under it, for God's sakes. Like, you know, and it's funny because, you know, the snake is used for, you know, the medicine thing, you know, and, but, you know, in my
opinion. I'm sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, in my humble opinion, medicine is really out to kill us. So that's just my humble opinion. I feel like
like we've taken the poison, so to speak. Like we really are shamans here on Earth. We've ingested the poison, and we're going through the healing process or the integration process of that.
Yeah, right on.
But I also, and that's a real shamanic thing, like being bitten by the snake in dream time is really kind of a potent message. I know I had a dream one time where I was bitten 3 times by a snake in this one dream, and
and
this person I was working with was like, "Wow, that's a shamanic dream. You're transmuting the poison." And
wow,
and now that I'm
Good job.
At the time, I didn't think I really understood it, but now that I think about it, it's like transmuting the poison. That's being born here and doing what I do
exactly.
Yeah.
Getting through
and going through those times where I just felt like I wanted to check out. I didn't want to be here anymore. But there, I have to admit that there part of that feeling was sort of this petulant feeling, sorry for myself, or self pity. Like, you know, and that's not a good. That's a shadow side. That's like a ew.
Yeah,
I don't like to admit that I'm all like
Yeah, well, it's definitely not. It's not for the weak. Sovereignty is not for the weak. I mean, because it's amazing how many energetic ports you have to let go of. You know, where you know whether you're. I mean, and I know this from my own journey. You know, feeding off of attention, feeding off of victim, feeding off of pity. Oh my God, I've played all these, and you know, and slowly I'm like, I've got to find my own source of energy, because sovereignty is exactly that. Energetically, I'm feeding me. And what I find is, as I focus on my sovereignty, the beings who are siphoning off of me that are part of the agenda can't do it as easily, because sovereignty is putting me more and more aware of my own energetic field, and in my awareness, they're it doesn't work what they're doing. And it's not that because one of the things I was trying to do is get rid of implants. And you know, I found it kind of humorous, because I was like, how am I supposed to get rid of something I can't feel anyways and didn't know until somebody else told me they were there? It's not that I don't, you know, I believe that they're there, but I need a better way to get rid of them because I don't know that they're there to get rid of them to know that they're gone.
Mm.
And that's when it started making sense. Okay, but the implants work on my mind, so I have to make it that I am choosing my decisions from a space outside of that control because the implant doesn't work on my essence. It only works on my thoughts. Okay, so let me have the thoughts, but my essence will make my choice for me.
I have found that implants can be in the mental body or the emotional body, so that would either work on your thoughts or your feelings.
Okay.
And they have programs.
Okay. Yeah.
And but they're also, I believe, they're something that we chose at some time because we thought we needed to, or maybe we didn't feel empowered. Because I totally don't go with any kind of victim thing when it comes to that implant
right
or
on.
Things like that.
I agree with you wholeheartly. I agree.
Yeah.
You know, all of this is a choice on some level. It might not be a conscious choice, but it's still, you know, if I'm experiencing this, it's because my soul wants me to experience it. So it's kind of like, well, shut up and experience it.
Right.
You know, right. Totally.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
But
and that's a very strong place. Please.
Yeah. It's empowering. It's empowerment to take responsibility. That's what it is, basically.
Exactly.
And that's what we have to do. So,
right on.
But I want to say something about snakes because I've had this experience a couple of times. Like one time I was sitting by this really one of my favorite places by a creek here and my feet were in the water and I'm just, you know, hanging out on a rock and I felt something brush over my foot and I looked down and it was a little snake, like as if my foot was the rock. It was just passing through and instead of, you know, I felt this sweetness coming from the snake, like this sweet energy. And then another time I used to write for a newspaper and I would cover things happening in schools. And so there was this man who came with some wild animals that were born in captivity. So they weren't that wild. And to show the kids.
Right.
And he had this big black snake. And he took it out and he was holding it. And he said, she's... I'm able to do this because she was born in captivity and she's very used to people and children. So if you want to touch her, it's okay. You know, a lot of the kids were like, ew. And then, because they think a snake's going to be slimy, but it's actually really dry. And I got to touch this snake and again was just overcome by this sweet energy. And it's just, I don't know, it's totally, I never was really afraid of snakes, but... anyway, it's just kind of changed this whole thing. They're getting a bad rap, those snakes.
I love that you're sharing because this is another, right. Anything that we've been programmed to fear or dislike, intuitively my soul goes, go there. Go there and see what's real for you. Because exactly like you just said, the picture is painted that they're slimy and they're, you know, I don't know what, because I also have...
Like the Garden of Eden.
Yeah, think about that. I mean, the whole Adam and Eve, I mean, it was either the woman or the snake they were putting in. And if you think about it, I mean, the reptiles clearly are, you know, there's some dark beings in this reptilian race.
Mm.
Not all reptilians, but so they are the race to... they're playing the characters of the dark for us. You know, it's like, but I love that what you said is that they're not slimy. You know, I love snakes. I would have a snake, to be honest. I have a cat, though, and I don't think cat, you know, because I would buy a boa, and inevitably he'd get big enough to eat my cat, and that would really freak me out if he did that. You know, because I don't do anything small. Everything's balls to the wall. But I think that's a wonderful example of, you know, where, you know, society, like you said, it's evil, it's slimy, it's this and that, and you know, you're open to it being what it really is, you know, a sentient being that has something to show us, and clearly not slimy, not at all. In fact, they're very clean, you know, they're pretty easy to upkeep, you know, I mean... I just honor that wisdom. I really do. I honor that. Yeah.
I used to be, when I was a child, I was really afraid of spiders.
Okay.
And now, you know, I don't feel that way about spiders. They're interesting. When I dust, I try to leave the spiders alone if I can.
Yeah, me too.
You know, but I have to say I'm very glad that they're small, because I've heard that there are planets where there are really big spiders, and maybe and that's where why we tend to have an initial fear of spiders, because maybe some of us have a memory of being on a planet where spiders were really big.
Yeah.
So I have to say.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
They're very small.
It almost got Frodo, you know. I mean, I hear that, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
well,
that was a scary moment in literature.
It was, wasn't it? Right on. Thanks
it
for going
was.
There with me. I'm just such a fan of that movie because, you know, I just love it how the meek are the one who literally have the burden of bringing the most powerful of darkness to its conclusion.
Yeah, because they're so simple souls.
Yeah.
And
we underestimate the strength of that. We do, myself included. We underestimate the strength of that simplicity.
Yeah, and I think humanity has that. We have that in us.
Totally.
Form of simplicity. And then one time I was reading about different cultures, or maybe it was a video I was watching, and there was this one man who was saying that the most advanced societies did not build monuments to themselves. There's no record of the most advanced societies because they lived in such harmony with the earth that they left nothing behind.
Right on.
I thought that was really something to think about.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right on. Yeah. Well, we did it, babe. Pat yourself
yeah.
on the back. I'm patting me.
Hours.
I'm patting you. We even went over, which is beautiful. I mean, it was good though. I love your tenacity in just exploring this with me. I do. I appreciate it tremendously. Thank you. Thank you for being
thank
here.
Thank you. Well, this was fun. I feel much better now than I did, you know, before the call.
Right on, me too.
And I was
me
like,
too.
I hope she cancels. I was checking my email. Oh, she didn't know. All right.
I swear I was thinking the exact same thing. I was like, Scott, let me get on your email. Let me see if it... I was like, no, like, I mean, and I'm on the phone with Janine. I go, you know, it was divine last time. It, you know, she had her mom. I was like, I literally looked at him and I go, because I'm canceling. I'm not doing Thursday night shows, you know, this week and next week. Those are my last 2 weeks. And then, you know, so I definitely want you back on. We're just going to do it like maybe one day during the week or, you know, on a weekend. It doesn't even matter. You know, we'll, because also what I'm doing is I'm inviting the people that want to be on my show to also call me. Call me and go, hey, you want to do a show? You know, sure. You know, meaning taking into consideration when it's an appropriate moment for my guests to want to do it too. You know, co-creating these experiences. So, you know, I was like, I got 2 shows left. Come on, Goldie. And hands down, I feel great. I do. I feel light. I don't feel... I mean, I can bend my fingers without lots of pain. So thank you. I appreciate it. You know, it's
okay. Thank you.
All
and
right.
I'll call you when I get.
Oh yeah, and I'll call
show.
You too.
Bye.
Definitely. Awesome. Awesome.
Right,
now listen,
good.
Before you hang up, though, let people know about your if you're still doing your Monday night calls or your website. You know where they can hear from you
yes.
and read from you and all that
thank
good
you.
Stuff.
You. Yeah, I'm doing my Monday night 8:30 Eastern time. It's a channeled meditation, and I never know what's going to happen. And we're working lately on releasing energies of belief systems and lighting that light within us out through the chakras. And you know, I'm always surprised at what comes up. And even on those nights, sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this, and then I end up feeling so good afterwards. So.
Right on.
And so my website is soultransitions.com, where it has the information about those calls and the other work I do that sometimes does involve clearing of implants, like we talked about earlier. So
right.
Those are the guides in the Akashic Records and my clients' guides who do those clearings. I just uncover what needs to be done. And my blog, which is coming out later and later, it seems. I think I might be changing that into a video thing maybe and writing a book.
Oh, nice.
Because every time I write one of those, I'm like, this is a chapter.
Right on. Okay.
So we'll see how this thing, it's a transitional time for so many of us. And, you know, I'm really looking at some things falling away, and I may be, I'm going to be moving to Canada.
Wow, nice.
At some point this year, and, you know, that's a huge change, but I think it'll be grounding and yeah, then moving on from there even probably. So
right.
So soultransitions.com for now, and I'm working on integralsoul.com next, but...
Oh, love it.
Yeah.
I like the name. Nice. Well,
yeah,
and also Spirit Library. Look for her her monthly blogs on the Vibe Report on Spirit
Library.
Vibe Report,
yeah. And
so
support Spirit Library if you can.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. All right. Thank you. Thank you for being
here.
Thank you. Yeah, I love you, Nancy. I feel just an affinity. Yeah, I enjoy my time with you on and off the air. And, you know, onward, upward, inward, outward. Let's see what we can do with the rest of this year.
Okay, yeah.
All right, love. I will definitely speak with you soon.
Okay, great. And thank you, everybody, who's
right
been listening.
Yay! Good night, everybody.
Good night.
You've been experiencing Another Reality Show with Golden Hawk. Another Reality Show is live Thursdays 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, or listen and be enlightened anytime that works for you. Questions or comments? Email the show, goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. That's goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. Also, visit us on the web at www.anotherrealityshow.com. Remember, all you rule breakers, misfits, troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists, everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what is right with you. You see things others don't. You're hardwired to change the world. And unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible and you were born to be a revolutionary. And here at Another Reality Show, we salute you. Stay amazing and keep on flying. Good night.